Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series talking about prayer. And I have really been blessed by this teaching. These are some of the truths that have just revolutionized my life. As you've heard me say as I've gone through this series, I really believe that prayer is one of the most religious things that we have in the Christian life. And I'm using religious here in a negative term. It's something that there's a lot of tradition, a lot of things involved in that does not connect with God. It's just a religious exercise, and there needs to be a radical transformation in this area. So I think that this teaching on prayer has the potential of changing your life as much as probably anything that I teach. It's pretty strong compared to what most people say, but it's things that can help you. And this is nearing the end. Next week is going to be my last week to teach on this. If you would like to receive these materials, I encourage you to please go to the effort of requesting them. We have this book that I've put out entitled A Better Way to Pray, and it's available now in Family Christian bookstores, Barnes & Nobles, Books A Million, Borders, and any bookstore can get this through Harrison House. We also have done a new thing, and that is that we're offering our DVDs of the television program. Now, we aren't offering those individually the way that we do these individual teachings, but that's a unit if you want to get the entire DVD set. And then we also have a CD album, the audio teaching. And I encourage you to please get these materials because I think that this teaching is something that you're going to need to go back over because it's just not being said very often. So it's good for you, and also it's a great way to share these truths with other people. And like I said, I believe that this is an area that just needs a reformation in the body of Christ. So we've already covered a lot of material. On our program last week, I was dealing with the final teaching in my series on A Better Way to Pray, and I was talking about how prayer is a process. The point that I'm trying to get across is that instead of the moment God decides to do something, there being instant results, it's not like that. There's a process from the time that God moves and grants your request and releases His command for your prayer to be answered. There is a process that takes place, and it could only take place over a second or two, or it could take place over a longer period of time. And most people don't have this concept. And so because of that, they just assume that if God willed something instantly, like that, it's done. And if that's the way you think, then I can guarantee you there are going to be times that you pray, like say, for instance, for a physical healing, and as soon as you say, Amen, you still have a pain. And if you don't understand that there's a process, that God moves and releases His power, but it may be a period of time before there is the physical manifestation. If you don't understand that, then immediately you are going to get into unbelief, thinking, well, I've still got the pain, therefore God must not have done anything. I've been showing you from Scripture that God moves in the spiritual realm, but there is a process that has to take place from when God moves until you can see or feel the physical manifestation. I've used a lot of scriptures on this. And in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel prayed a prayer. And while he was still praying, in verse 20 it says, And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. But let me show you this. Verse 23, Gabriel says, At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. God gave a command to Gabriel, but it took a period of time. It was a short period of time. It was only about 3 minutes. But nonetheless, God commanded before there was a physical manifestation. Then in the 10th chapter, Daniel prayed another prayer, and this time it took 3 weeks. And some people say, why did God answer the first prayer in 3 minutes and the second prayer in 3 weeks? The answer to this is in Daniel chapter 10 in verse 12, the messenger there said, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. The answer is that God didn't answer one prayer in 3 minutes and the next prayer in 3 weeks. He answered both prayers instantly. But in one case, the answer was manifest, physically discernible in 3 minutes. The next time it took 3 weeks. But it wasn't God that was the variable. What was the variable? Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days." This is talking about a demonic power. There was demonic hindrances. And most people just do not understand this. They think that if God wills something, it's going to happen like that. I actually had a pastor one time, I won't tell you what denomination this was, but he challenged me on this fact that God's will is to heal. He believed God could heal. He just believed that we had zero to do with it. It was just a matter of if God willed it, it would happen. And if God didn't will it, it wouldn't happen. And so he was arguing with me about this. And this man made this statement to me. He says, we were talking about a specific girl that I was wanting to pray and minister healing to. And he says, if God wants her healed, she will be healed. And if he doesn't want her healed, she won't be healed. And see, that is kind of descriptive. It's kind of commonplace the way that most people believe. They believe that whatever God's will is, it just comes to pass, that there can be no hindrances. There's nothing that affects God's will. They just assume that it automatically happens. If it happens, God had to allow it. If it doesn't happen, it must be God that rejected it. That is not what the Word of God teaches. Let me take another example that ought to be obvious, but in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, I mean, that wording there is so clear, I don't know how anybody could miss that. God is not willing that any perish. It is not God's will for a single person to perish and go to hell. That's exactly what that says. So does that mean that since it's not God's will, then nobody's going to perish? No, because Jesus said that there's more that enter in by the broad gate unto destruction than there is by the narrow gate unto everlasting life. God's will is for every person to be saved, but not every person is saved. Not every person is going to be saved because God's will does not automatically come to pass. God doesn't just control things. So therefore, this assumption that if God willed something, if God has done something, then it would just automatically happen in the physical realm and be discernible, that is not a scriptural concept. That is a religious concept that has led many people into believing that because they can't see anything in the physical realm, then it must not be God's will. God has not moved. God has not done anything. That is not what the verses teach. Again, right here in Daniel chapter 10, we see that God gave the command the very first day that Daniel prayed, but there was a demonic power that fought against Daniel's answer to prayer, against the angel that was bringing his answer. And that battle raged for 21 days. God had already commanded, but Satan hindered the manifestation of that prayer. Now, that is an important piece of information. You know, there's three possibilities. Of course, God has to be willing to do something. It has to be according to God's will. If you ask anything that is according to God's will, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of Him." So it has to be according to God's will. So God has to be, first of all, willing to grant this prayer. And He won't grant anything that is contrary to His Word. God's Word is His will. So that is one person that's involved. And then, of course, we have to believe. Either you believe and receive or you doubt and do without. And there's a third option, and that is that Satan can hinder things. Now, on a functional level, most people really rule out everything except God. Most Christians believe that whatever God's will just automatically comes to pass. And that's what I've been trying to show you, that that's not true. It's not true of salvation. It's God's will that every person be saved, and yet they aren't saved because we have a choice. God is not the variable. God has granted every petition, everything that is according to the promises in His Word. There is zero fluctuation with God. It says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, if you ask, you do receive. If you seek, you find. If you knock, it is opened unto you. God is never the variable. God always releases His power. That is not an option. But we have to believe. And if we get into unbelief because we haven't seen anything, and if we don't understand that prayer is a process and that things are at work and coming to pass, then we can get into unbelief. And our unbelief will stop God. And then there's a third option, and that is that God could be faithful. He could release His power. You could be standing in faith and not wavering. But Satan is a third factor in here, and Satan can hinder your prayer through the things that he does. And it's amazing how many people do not take this into account. Now, there's a balance to this, and I wished I could sit down with every one of you for hours, days, weeks on end and tell you everything I know. That's the reason I always am offering these products, is because I've got more to say on a subject than I ever have time to say. Satan can hinder prayers, but Satan is a non-factor if you know the truth and if you know your authority and if you exercise it, you can overcome Satan's hindrances. But he is a factor. And since none of us are perfect in our revelation and none of us do everything perfectly, often Satan is the one that hinders our prayers because we consent and cooperate with him either through our rebellion or through our ignorance. So that's what we're beginning to talk about, is how do you overcome Satan's hindrances to your prayers? James chapter 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have a new covenant, but Satan can hinder your prayers as he did with Daniel. So how do you deal with this? What do you do about it? Well, first of all, let me make some statements, and we're going to be spending the rest of this week telling you how to overcome Satan's hindrances. We're going to be identifying what some of the hindrances are to your prayers. And then, of course, once you identify what the problem is, we'll be giving a solution, how you take authority over that and how you deal with it. But I need to make some comments here. We can learn lessons from these scriptures in Daniel's chapter 9 and chapter 10. That's the reason I'm using them. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, etc. So I am not discrediting the book of Daniel, but I am saying this. There are some things that don't apply perfectly to us under the new covenant because we have a new covenant, a better covenant than what Daniel had. Jesus has now totally destroyed Satan and destroyed his power and dominion. And there is a total difference between Daniel and the way he operated and a New Testament saint. Now, I think that the things that are going on behind the scenes as far as Satan trying to hinder our prayers and do things, I think that Satan is still the same. God is the same. But the difference is God has now destroyed Satan and given us authority over the devil. And we have things available to us that Daniel didn't have available to him. So there's not going to be a perfect parallel between the things that Daniel experienced and the things that we experienced. But there's still lessons that we can learn from this. So one of the lessons is that it wasn't God that was the variable between the prayers in Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10. And it wasn't Daniel that was the variable. The variable was Satan. Satan fought against Daniel's prayer in the 10th chapter in a way that he didn't do in the 9th chapter. And so how was that? How was Satan able to do these things? Well, first of all, let me say this, that the way Daniel, as an Old Testament man, had to approach prayer, and when Satan was hindering his prayers behind the scenes, you know, Daniel is the one that wrote these passages for us, but he wrote them for us after the fact. I'm not sure from Scripture whether Daniel knew that there was a warfare going on in the spiritual realm and that things were happening. We don't know that for sure. After the fact, he knew about it because he's the one that wrote this and recorded it. But he may have learned that from this instance. But let me draw a comparison or make a statement about this here. And that is that, you know what, even if Daniel would have known what was happening, if Daniel would have known that God spoke at the very first of his prayer, sent a messenger, but for 21 days the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding him and hindering his prayer. If Daniel would have known that, what were his options? Well, did you know that as an Old Testament man, he really had no options? He didn't have authority over the devil. He couldn't have bound this. He couldn't have done anything about it because he just didn't have that authority. I don't know if you've ever studied this or not, but if you go to the Old Testament, there are only 15 times in all of the Old Testament that Satan is mentioned. And sometimes he's referred to as Lucifer or other things. Out of those 15 times, there are 12 of those times are listed in the book of Job. And that was written by the narrator of the book of Job, and it was after the fact. Job didn't know what was going on. His three friends didn't know what was going on. It was only later, after the Lord gave it the right perspective on it, that they saw this. So if you take the book of Job as one instance, even though it mentioned Satan 12 times in the book of Job, that was one instance. That leaves only three instances outside of the book of Job in the Old Testament that Satan was mentioned. And two of those instances are actually the same instance. One is recorded in 2 Samuel, the other one in 2 Chronicles. But it's the same instance. It's just recorded in two different historical books. So if you take Job as one instance, you take these two reports of the same instance as one. That means that really there's only about three separate times Satan is mentioned in all of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, there are chapters in the New Testament where Satan or demons are spoken of and dealt with and cast out more than three times in one chapter. The point that I'm making is that in the Old Covenant, there wasn't much of a revelation of Satan. In the New Testament, there is this huge revelation of Satan. There, the spiritual warfare, the spiritual things that are behind the scenes are brought out into the open in the New Covenant in a way that, I mean, just makes the Old Testament pale in comparison. Why is that? Why is it that Satan is so much more of a factor under the New Covenant than he was under the Old Covenant? And here's my opinion on that. I believe that the reason is because an Old Testament saint didn't have authority over the devil. We only gained authority over the devil through Jesus. Prior to Jesus coming and dying, an Old Testament saint had zero, zippo, zilch, nada authority over the devil. Now, if you've heard my teaching on the believer's authority, that doesn't mean that even an Old Covenant man was just totally oppressed by this superhuman, angelic, demonic power. Satan got his authority from mankind, and so Satan was limited in what he could do too. He had to deceive man and get man to yield to him through fear or through sin or through something. And so Satan couldn't just run over everybody. That's the reason he had to come into Adam and Eve and tempt them and deceive them through a serpent, not through some powerful animal that would overcome them or intimidate them, but instead he had to use deception on them. So Satan couldn't just totally run roughshod over people, but an Old Testament believer did not have authority over the devil. So therefore, why even give them the revelation about the devil? They couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't bind him. In this case with Daniel, if Daniel would have known what was going on in the heavenlies and that there was a prince of Persia that was hindering his prayers, he couldn't have bound him. The only option that Daniel had was to just stay in faith, hold on, refuse to let go. They didn't have the revelation of the spiritual realm the way that we have it. There's no indication he knew what was going on, but he knew God. And he knew that God had promised that when you call, he's going to answer. And so he had called and he was standing in faith and holding on to his faith and just refusing to let go. And there was this tremendous battle going on, but he had no options except to just hold on in faith and outlast the devil. You know, here's another thing about the devil that most people get wrong. They think that Satan is this unlimited force. The truth is, Satan is very limited in his power. Satan is a coward. He's the author of being a coward. Satan is the author of all fear. Satan is the author of all quitting, giving up, being lazy. All of those kind of things come from Satan. And you know what? Satan just can't fight you forever. In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, where Jesus was tempted on the Mount of Temptation, it says that when Satan had ended all of the temptation, he left him for a season. Satan threw everything he had at Jesus. There was nothing left. He doesn't have a limitless bag of tricks. He's very limited in what he could do. And so, Satan, he was fighting against Daniel And Daniel had no option except just to hold on and refuse to let go. And after Satan did his worst, he fought as much as he could, but Daniel refused to give up. Well, then basically what happened in Daniel chapter 10 was that Daniel won by default. Amen. It's like being in a wrestling match or a boxing match. You know, your enemy just throws everything at you. They beat you black and blue. But if you're still standing at the end, you know what? You just outlasted them. You win by default. In a sense, that's what Daniel did. It's like a dog grabbing hold of a bone and just getting a death grip on it. And the person drags them through the mud and through the mire and beats them up against the wall, does all these things, but they just won't let go. And after a while, you know, the other person gets tired and lets go. And in a sense, that's the way that Daniel got his prayer. He grabbed hold of a promise of God. He refused to back off in unbelief. Satan threw everything he had at him for 21 days, and Daniel refused to give up. And after a while, Satan had done everything he could. There was nothing left to do. And so Daniel won by default. And you know, that was okay in the Old Testament because, like I said, he didn't have any alternatives. He didn't have authority over the devil. But you and I, as New Testament believers, have an authority over the devil that we don't have to just stand there and take the devil's blows and let him beat us black and blue and do all of this and hinder and delay our prayers. We have access to the authority of God that Daniel didn't have. And if you can understand, according to these scriptures, that it's not God that's the variable, and if you check to make sure that you're standing in faith and you know it's not you that's operating in unbelief, well, then that leaves Satan as the other option. And if you know that, then you can get a word from God. You can take your authority. You can bind the devil. You can stop this hindrance. And you can shorten the period of time in between when you say amen and there it is. Daniel couldn't do a thing to shorten the period of time. All he could do was hold on. But New Testament believers don't have to do that. And yet, I'd say as a whole, most New Testament believers are praying exactly the way Daniel did. And that's a good. That's the people who are operating in faith. There's many New Testament believers who just get discouraged and quit if they don't see instant manifestation. But those who are really trying to walk in faith, they will just stand there and hold on and hold on and suffer and go through terrible pain and rejection and all of these things. And if they don't quit and if they hold on day after day, week after week, then they win by default. That's good as far as that goes. That's better than not winning at all. But I'm telling you that you can win quicker than that, better than that, by understanding your authority and taking your authority and stopping Satan's hindrances to your prayer. We're beginning to lay the foundation here for some things that I'm going to express and explain the rest of next week. So I encourage you to join me again on our program. And also, please get these materials that we're offering on A Better Way to Pray.
Andrew's teaching titled A Better Way to Pray is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The fifth audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY25 titled Prayer is a Process When You Write or Call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Once again, let me direct you to our website. It's a great website. Like I said, we have 19,000 visits per day to our website. And we have over 2,000 of my television programs that are archived, about 8,000 of my radio programs. They're all listed, indexed according to topic, so that you could get topical teaching on that. I also have books, magazine articles there, just a wealth of information. You can download over 300 of my teachings free of charge. It is a tremendous site. I guarantee you it'll help you get in the Word. So we have the website right there on the screen. I encourage you to check it out today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference next week, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Karis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock of Atlanta in Atlanta, Georgia, April 18th, and in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 13th through the 15th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Look for seats 23 and 25. Should be to your right.
Andrew, Jamie, and the team traveled by air and train to Karlsruhe, Germany. Here, a Gospel Truth Seminar was held in Christus Cathedral, one of the premier Pentecostal congregations in Germany.
Wie ist es möglich, dass ein Mensch so viele Zweifel
God called them to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go out, and he would show them the nation.
Gott hat sie berufen, Ur in Chaldea zu verlassen und in ein neues Land zu ziehen.
It's not just a one-hour service over 3 days, but he's leaving behind five or six of his major teachings in book format, leaving behind five or six of his major teachings in DVD or CD format in their language. That's what the key is.
During the German conference, Will Graham met with supervisors of Andrew's book translation teams to plan and coordinate projects for the coming year. This group has already seen an astounding 127 of Andrew's books translated into 36 languages worldwide. Will reports that already Christians in China have placed orders for 200,000 copies of Andrew's books. Books that contain the teaching from God's Word that will affect the lives of millions and perhaps billions of people worldwide.
There are 27 nations in the European Union, and we are translating into 19 of those languages.